8.
This is WGTD HD serving Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. You're listening to Community Matters, a program that explores and highlights various local issues and organizations. It's hosted by Jane Herring, a former marketing manager at Gateway Technical College, Jenny Tunkies, former reporter for the Kenosha News, and a former chief of staff for the Kenosha County Executive, Marcia Connett, who is a Southeast Regional Consultant for Wisconsin Literacy, and she provides literacy education support and management expertise, and Xander Miller, a librarian at the Kenosha Public Library who also works on technology and digital skills. Community Matters also shares its time slot with the 30-time award-winning WGTD Radio Theater. And now, here's today's program.
Good morning. Welcome to Community Matters. I'm Marcia Connett, your host. I am so glad that you've joined us today because I have two very special guests. They are both named Katie, so I'm going to ask each one to say hello as I introduce them. So with me today is Katie Johnston. Katie, can you say hello?
Hi there.
And Katie is an American Sign Language interpreter and has just a wonderful background in that area, and especially in the topic that we're going to be talking about today. Also with me is Katie Tatrow. Katie, can you say hello?
Hello.
And Katie is one of the owners of Katie's Canine Clubhouse in Racine. And what we're going to be talking about today is something that I just happened to hear about, but was absolutely fascinated by. Very recently, Katie's Canine Clubhouse, who offers dog training classes on a regular basis, trained a couple and their dog colt, all of whom are deaf. And they were able to do the training with the assistance of Katie Johnston. So Katie, can you tell us a little bit about your background and how you came to do this very important work, and maybe a little about what you also do in the rest of your life?
Oh, sure. It actually started when I was in kindergarten. I met my best friend who, she's deaf. We went to an all-inclusive school. So they wanted deaf kids to be part of the classroom setting. So She taught me sign language, and that's how it started from there. I was involved with St. Lucie's Church for many years. 12 of them, I actually did sign language for a lot of the church songs and occasionally interpreting some of the church masses. I did that for 12 years. And then it went on to when I was in college. It started, my best friend, her and I applied to the same schools. We did not get into this same school. I went to Ripon College. She went to a different school. I started a sign language club there. And from there, it just piqued a lot of interest because it's a very small town atmosphere. So that same year, my freshman year, we did a very large deaf awareness event for the community. We raised money for Pause for a Cause. It was just a really fun event. And like I said, it just piqued a lot of interest in the community. And then in my second year of college, my best friend of 35 years now transferred over to Ripon College, and she was the first deaf student there. So from there, I actually did, it's kind of a joke, I did my study abroad program in Chicago. I just couldn't afford to go to Europe like everybody else, but I had the opportunity to work with deaf adults with disability at a day program. So that was super fun. That was just great. It was really fun. And then actually from there, my professor started, well, the school had something called a Maymaster, which is a very short, 3 weeks to a month long class, which is kind of like a study abroad. And we did ours in Jamaica. I was in the first class. And we actually stayed in like the third world country portion of it in the Blue Mountains. It was absolutely beautiful. Food was so fresh. It was a phenomenal experience. And a lot of the kids there found out that I knew sign language. And so they were just absolutely more than excited to learn during the duration of our time there. And it was just really, really fun. And I think just throughout the years, I've always been a helpful person. I really enjoy being a volunteer, helping others makes me happy, makes me feel good. So I think that's how a lot of this got started. I have been good friends with Samantha Cooper since we were kids. We went to the same schools together. And then life happened, drifted apart, and then we reconnected through Hope Safe House. So
tell us quickly about Hope Safe House, because maybe not everybody's familiar with the work that they do.
Absolutely. So Hope Safe House is a local rescue organization. It's actually located on Lathrop Avenue next to Bernie's, which is always a plus for the lunches and the food. They rescue dogs and cats from high kill shelters. Currently, they've had for a while now a really good working relationship with a shelter in Kentucky. They are just absolutely overcrowded. The mentality down south is a lot different than what we have up here. So that's why the shelters are just absolutely overcrowded like no other. So they have a lot of fundraisers. They do a lot for the community. The community does a lot for them. They help save so many animals throughout the years. I know it started, oh gosh, well over 12 years or 20 years ago. I'm not sure the exact details on like when it started, but I know my friend Sam, she's been involved with them since she was at least 13 years old.
Oh, wow. Wow. Kitty Tetro, do you know how long ago Hope started?
The exact time, no, but I know that I've been involved with them for close to 20 years, and okay. And I do remember that Sam was quite young. She was definitely a high schooler when I started volunteering with them.
Okay, that makes sense. So, okay, Katie Johnson, so you got involved with Hope Safe House, and how were you able to use your skills as a American Sign Language?
Sure. Just to also share, I'm actually a deaf person myself with cochlear implants. So,
and have you been deaf? Pardon me. Have you been deaf your entire life?
Actually, was not. I had an accident. I was about 7-8 years old. I hit my head. It became hard of hearing in one ear. And then 12 years ago, I'm a very clumsy person. I had another accident. I hit my head and I became deaf in both ears. So it was a specialist in Milwaukee who told me that I actually had this genetic condition I didn't know I had. So it would have been possible. I could have been 6 years old, woken up, with complete deafness, and hitting my head a couple of times just made the condition go a little quicker. So I just felt like, as me being a provider for my family, I needed, the world says you do not discriminate. Well, that's a lie. There's a secret world that everybody discriminates to a degree. So I just felt like as a provider, I got my master's degree in psychology and I have to work. So it was a personal decision for me to get cochlear implants. So I think what's great is, keeping up with friendships with deaf people over the years. You know, I was been able to keep up with my signing because just like any other language, you know, you tend to forget things here and there. And I'm not a perfect signer whatsoever. I'm able to provide like the best type of customer service because I have the experience of knowing what it's like on both worlds. So
it is absolutely amazing to me. There's a Yiddish word, beshert, that means meant to be. So clearly, mm-hmm. when you learn sign language at a very young age, who would have known? that was something that would become an incredible part of your life because of the changes that you went through. That is just absolutely incredible.
Absolutely. I'm truly a person that believes that everything happens for a reason. So there is a reason at 5 years old, I met my best friend still to this day.
Right.
35 years of friendship. So yeah, who would have thunk I would have actually needed it myself.
Yeah, it really is something else. So so you're working with Hope Safe House, and did they get deaf animals in?
It's actually deaf dogs are common, but not common enough. And it has to do, from what I've learned, with the pigmentation of their skin. It's in relation to their hearing somehow. So I actually own a deaf dog myself. I've had Ludwig for about 4 years now. He was actually a Milwaukee stray. And he's just the most absolute sweetest dog ever. Loves people, loves dogs. So when we first got him, so this is how I got started with training with deaf dogs. I was just doing a whole lot of research, a whole lot of video watching. There's a group on Facebook called Deaf Dogs Rock.
Really?
So it's an excellent support group, as well as advertising dogs that do need, you know, homes like adoption, fostering. Mm-hmm. So I always thought it'd be really cool to have a deaf dog because I'm a deaf person myself. And honestly, it's really not a lot of difference between training a deaf dog with a hearing dog. It's a lot of the same mentality, a lot of the same, you know, tips and tricks. There's definitely a couple of do's and don'ts. So when it came to Hope Safe House asking about resources, just being realistic, it's so expensive, and there is not any interpreter agencies in this area. Everything is from Milwaukee, as well as the availability in the evening. And my kids are grown, so I don't have a lot going on. And again, I enjoy volunteering, so I really didn't mind at all. So it was just great to be able to help provide assistance. And Katie knows I've been through her class a few times now. So
yeah.
It's So I can't say anything absolutely more positive about Katie's puppy classes in general. And she's helped out my Mastiff. Yeah, of course. I mean, she's helped out my Mastiff, who had anxiety, still does, anxiety issues. But his behavior improved, like, greatly, as well as my Miss Lumi Lou that I've got. She was a foster fail for my last foster.
And a foster six fail puppies. Is a good thing. We have
oh, to... yeah. Yeah, yeah.
It just means they never leave your house once they come in, so...
Yeah, it was a mom and six puppies, and she was the most calmest, coolest, like, pup. She was, like, the least favorite just because she didn't have the beautiful colors, and my husband and I kind of figuring out, you know, the ones with the most beautiful colors are the most troublemakers. Yeah. the ones with the biggest personalities. So, so we did. She fits in with my pack very well. So actually, right before Colt's class, I literally just got done working with Lumi. So, yeah.
Good. You know, can we just step back for a second? And Katie Tatro, I'd be curious for your input here about deaf dogs. And sure. Katie Tatro knows dachshunds have been a part of my life, at least in the more recent future. And I know that in dachshunds, when you mate double dapples, very yes. often they have vision problems and they have hearing problems and other things. What other concerns are there in terms of breeding so that deafness isn't an issue?
Well, obviously, you know, dogs that are deaf, we're not going to want to breed them because they're, unless they've gotten it, you know, from something like a viral
thing that we know about, or later on in life by an accident or something like that. So that's one thing, of course, we're going to do is we're going to stop breeding dogs that have any lineage of deafness. One of the other things that we can look at is the specific types of breeds, like in particular Dalmatians. And then there are the variants, the variants in the coats and the genetics that we can keep an eye out for. Unfortunately, with a lot of the cases that we see, they're dogs that are, aside from like your boxers and in some of your American Bully or Pitbull and Dalmatian, aside from those breeds, a lot of the times we see the deaf dogs, they're mutts, you would want to call it, or strays or that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. In the not so great breeding world, where they're not very reputable, I guess is a good word for some breeders. If they're not very reputable, a lot of times they will make the deaf dogs disappear from their lineage so that you don't really know about it. So it's kind of a hit or miss depending on who you're dealing with in that respect. So basically our best bet, instead of trying to figure out a way to minimize the deaf dogs, is to help educate the general public and then the people who are willing to adopt in the first place. And then if they do happen to adopt a deaf dog, which they may not know right away, especially if it's a puppy. As a matter of fact, one of the dogs in Colt's litter came to class for the first week, and then they came to class the second week, and she said to me, I don't think this dog is listening to me. And I said, I think that dog is also deaf because her brother's deaf. So, or his brother, I don't remember who it was, what it was, boy or girl, but, and indeed, they ended up at the vet, and the vet did say, I'm confirming that this dog is also deaf. So it's not necessarily something that they see before they even adopt them.
Right. Oh, my gosh. Really important points, though, that know what you're doing. Backyard breeding is probably not the best thing to be into if you don't understand this sort of thing. So,
right.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Good. All right. All right. So back to Katie Johnston. How did you get involved with Colt, the deaf dog, and his humans? How did you become involved with them? Did you get a call from somewhere? How did that work?
Because Colt was a foster through Hope Safe House. Sam's very familiar with me. Like I said, we grew up together, more or less. And Sam does know a little bit of sign herself, but again, it's something if you don't practice, you're not going to know. So she asked if I'd be interested, and Katie knows this. You can't say no to Sam.
Nope. Which is why she kept the rescue together as long as she has.
So, and like I said, I really enjoy volunteering and just providing, like, the best services possible. And it's just, it just made things all around easier because I've been through Katie's class a couple of times. So the staff is familiar with me. I'm familiar with them and as to how they do their classes. So that's kind of, everything. We're just all connected somehow. So I was asked.
Okay, wonderful. And it's wonderful to know that there's a resource like you out there, because I would think even if someone had a hearing dog, but they were deaf, they could still come to class because you could assist them with American Sign.
Oh, absolutely. I'm thrilled that she was able to do this, and it opens up all kinds of doors for our training program to know that there is somebody out there that we could either employ or have volunteer time or whatever if need be in the future. It definitely makes things a lot more bright as far as dealing with deaf dogs or even deaf people or both, or as we know, it's It's been a godsend, actually.
That's wonderful. I just think that's so, so amazing that's available to folks in the Racine Kenosha area. So yeah, that's great. Katie, tell us a little bit, and we're going to take a break here in just a minute or two. Tell us a little bit about Katie's Canine Clubhouse, and then we'll get into some of the more specifics after the break.
Well, Katie's Canine Clubhouse has been in Caledonia for 15 years now. We just celebrated our 15th year in February. I actually met you because your dachshunds were our very first daycare dogs, Scooter and Sophie, who we miss very much. And we offer daycare, grooming, boarding, training, and day boarding as well. We also expand it to our training program. We expand that into like private lessons and more specific training. We have trained service dogs in the past. I actually have a service dog in the mix right now that I can tell you about a little later. Andy, he's got a little bit of a story that I can share with you guys. We also do a lot of volunteering for Hope. We bring in a lot of their returns. We rehabilitate, and we also will do some volunteer things like to make money for, we'll do pictures or different things like that. So we like to really give back to the community that way.
Right. Oh, yeah, I know you've collected dog food and dog toys and leashes and collars. And, yeah, it's really been an amazing journey. And yeah, full disclosure, Katie and I have known each other for a lot of years. And my dogs have been through the trainings, and one was good and one wasn't so good in terms of their graduations. But
well, she was good, just, you know.
She just had a mind of her own, yes.
Right.
So, okay.
Stubborn German.
That's it, absolutely. So we're going to take a very quick break to say that you are listening to Community Matters here on WGTD 91.1 FM. My guests today are Katie Tatro, one of the owners of Katie's Canine Clubhouse on the north side of Racine, and Katie Johnston, who, among other things, is an American signer and works with the deaf community as well as their deaf animals. So, Katie Tetra, let's go back to talking a little bit about dog training and why it's important, and then we'll circle back to Colt and his experience in your classes.
Well, the biggest thing that we need to learn to do with dogs is we need to learn how to communicate with them and help them understand the English language. We need to help them understand what their role is in our household, and also understand that they can trust us. Trusting us is the biggest thing. Once they've learned how to trust us, they can let us help them through situations that make them uneasy or make them uncomfortable with, I guess, uncomfortable with how they should respond, mm-hmm. more so than the actual situation, but how they should respond to each situation is just as important as the situations that we put them into. Training is of the, I'm stumbling all over my words.
That's okay. Yeah, training, and I know you always say this, training really is more about the owners than the dogs.
It is. It is way more about the people than it actually is about the dogs. We can train a dog here for 2 weeks and give it back to the people. And if the people don't understand what we've done and they're not able to follow through with everything that we've taught them, the dog's going to come back and be the exact same way that they were when they came.
Mm-hmm.
And then if I can circle back to myself personally, and I know others have fostered much more longer than I have. Again, bouncing off of what Katie just said, it's just so important for all that trauma of what those dogs had gone through. You know, like she said, going through training us to teach them to keep them healthy and active, to give them a much more better quality of life than what they had previously experienced, you know, with older dogs and with puppies.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, because you both really work a lot with rescue dogs. And yes. They come not only with, you know, behaviors that they may have picked up along the way, but they come with trauma in some cases. So, yeah.
Most often.
Yeah. So how do you deal with that, Katie? How, when you're working with training, or even if you're fostering, for instance, how do you help a dog that's been through so much feel secure and feel loved and all of those other things?
So it's always going to be on an individual basis, mm-hmm. but when we bring a dog in that's been, say, brought up from one of the shelters, we can guess that one of the main traumas is going to be the transport. Transport is a big issue because they are obviously going from one place and they are traveling for, you know, a 10-hour stretch in a small vehicle with lots of other barking dogs. And oftentimes they come up and they're not feeling well. They can share all kinds of, you know, germs and stuff. And sometimes they come up and they're pregnant and we didn't know that. And so they're traveling pregnant. They've got all these other things that they could be bringing with them. So the very best thing for us to do first off is to allow them to decompress. Allow them to decompress in the way that they want to decompress. So I'm not saying that you let them run your house if they want to run all over the place and eat your blinds. But if they want to sit in a kennel for 5 days and only come out to go potty, then you let them do that. You help them feel comfortable where they are. And once you help them feel comfortable where they are, then I like to see people try to wipe a clean slate. I like to help people understand that although there's A, B, C, and D that happened along the way, we've allowed the decompression. Now we're going to build. We're going to build on trust and we're going to build on communication. And we're going to give these dogs the ability to wipe their past and work towards a future. Because although we need to acknowledge those things, like we need to acknowledge that a man with a beard is scary to Fido, we don't need to give Fido a crutch that all men with a beard are scary and we're going to mm-hmm. just not let bearded men in our house. We're going to have to help to desensitize Fido to men with a big beard. So we're going to give them the ability to reach a certain threshold. And then once they've reached that threshold, we'll back off a little and we'll go a little further. And unless there's some real anxiety issues that might need to be dealt with, like medication wise or something like that, oftentimes it is just time. It could be a lot of time. It could mm-hmm. be, we have a dog that actually we adopted to live here as our resident dog. Her name is Milan. She was at the Kentucky shelter and she started out not even coming out of the kennel the first time we were down there. We couldn't even see her close up because she would only be behind the wall of the kennel and she wouldn't let us even see her or touch her or give her a treat. Now she wants to leave with us at night. Now we're faced with the idea that she might not want to live just here. She might want to come to one of our houses. So, you know, she went from peeing and pooping when somebody looked at her to now wanting to be a totally different dog. I mean, it's been 3 years. So it's been a long time, but she's coming around.
Wow. That is, I love those stories. That is absolutely amazing to me. So tell me, go ahead.
I was going to say, one of my favorite stories. Well, one of my favorite experiences was my very first foster years ago. So a lot of what Katie explained, it sounds scary to a lot of people, all the germs, all the behaviors, all the not knowing. But when we first started, my kids were younger. We actually just lost our Mastiff at a young age. And I saw this post of a hoarding situation somewhere in Indiana or something. This lady had like 50 Mastiffs or something. And Racine, Union Grove, Kenosha got together and took in a big group. So I convinced my husband to, let's just go meet them. And there was this one dog that came right up to us. Oh, he was such a big baby. But he had a lot of cuts. He had, he was really skinny, malnourished. He had a teary eye. But after a couple of months of some really good nourishment, giving him some space, just basically showing him what love is, when it came to, and he was fostered through Hope Safe House, when he met his forever family, there was this little girl that was with, she was about 7, 8 years old at the time. Now, this dog was very apprehensive to new people. Once he warmed up to you, he was just fine. So it took mom and dad a little coaxing, but this one girl, she must have had this aura about her that he just went right up to her and just like licked her face. And then, so they adopted him, and it just melted my heart like no other. I got pictures like weeks later of this little teeny tiny girl and this 100-pound Mastiff pup like sitting across her lap, and she was just reading him a book. So we have been very fortunate. All my experiences fostering, you know, kind of like Katie says, let them decompress. You show them what trust is, you show them what love is, and that's what they basically need is time. And 9 times out of 10, you don't know their background or history, where they came from or what happened to them. So it's just giving them a blank slate and just finding them a real good, loving home.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yep. So let's go back to the training classes that Colt and his humans attended. how many sessions are in your puppy class, Katie?
Six.
Gosh, I'd forgotten that. Okay. So in the first session, how did you work with, and there's usually, you know, what, 6 or 10 or 12 people in a class?
Yeah, probably about 12.
Okay. And then there are 6 or 7 or 10 dogs between them. How did it work when you have one dog and they're humans who don't hear, when the rest of the class is hearing able?
Well, Katie made it very, very easy for us. She just listened to what we were saying and literally conveyed all of that information via sign to these people. And it was actually very, very easy for us. I actually forgot at some points that everybody there wasn't necessarily hearing what we were saying. I mean, she made it so smooth, and the people were so grateful. And it was very interesting for all the other people in class too. I feel like they felt like they were part of this journey as well.
No kidding. So when a dog doesn't hear, are you using hand signs for their training?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. And amazingly enough, the majority of the deaf dogs that I've worked with, they pay attention very, very well to their people because they're depending on you to survive. I mean, literally, they don't have all of their senses, so they don't feel as confident like, I don't need you. They definitely want to engage with their people because they want to know what to expect next. Most of them, not all of them. Yeah. Most of them.
There's different
ways of getting their attention. I mean, you can use, sometimes you're lucky enough to be able to use a high-pitched whistle. Sometimes. Depends on how severely deaf they are. But we have used light, either flashlight or sometimes like the porch light, of course, like if you're trying to get the dog to come in or whatever. Sometimes vibration is another way to do it.
Yeah.
Not necessarily on our floor as much because we just have the rubber matting on the concrete, but at home, sometimes that's a really good way of doing it is the vibration.
Okay. Well, I wouldn't have, the vibration, I thought of just stamping on the floor might get their attention. Lord knows I've done that with my own dogs who are hearing, but, but yeah, I hadn't thought about flipping the porch light when it's time for them to come in. How cool is that?
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
And then just to bounce off of that, as myself having a hearing loss, your other senses are heightened. So I'm a little bit more sensitive to vibration. I'm a little bit more sensitive to light for sure. So it's just a matter of just doing things a little bit differently. That's really all it is.
Sure. Just being creative in your approach. Wow. Has this experience, Katie Tatrell, changed the way you offer or the way you do your puppy classes now? Or has it just sort of all blended together?
Well, I felt like Katie made it very easy to blend it in, but it definitely opened up my eyes to what we can do and how we can help different dogs and different people in the community. It definitely has opened some doors.
Okay, that's wonderful. Have you thought about at all about people who are sight impaired? Is that on your radar at all? Have you ever worked with either a blind owner or a dog that's blind?
We've worked with dogs that have been blind, and oftentimes that's been when the dogs have gotten older. So we've been fortunate enough that the people either knew the dogs really well or we knew the dog and we could help out. A lot of times that's been just with scent training. But what it has done, or what we are doing next, is we have an individual who is in a wheelchair, a motorized wheelchair, and he is going to start, we're working with him and his mother, training their very own service dog. They've been having such a hard time finding a service dog for what they need, which is a seizure alert. Basically, the dog doesn't need to alert. He needs to comfort. So he's going to be trained to lay over the top of this young man when he's experiencing a seizure. And in the past, the dog that they had died very young. And so they kind of were left with a big gaping hole. And the seizures are just so many more without the dog being there. So we're trying to work fast with this young dog that they happen to be fostering and just adopted not too long ago. He's just starting our puppy class actually in the next round. So now we're going to be dealing with somebody who's in a wheelchair, a motorized wheelchair, and kind of integrating that kind of handicap in. And so this should be interesting.
Well, and how cool that the other dogs and owners in that class are going to see someone in a wheelchair and learn how their dog should or should not approach or not be afraid of. Because I know my dog is not happy with wheelchairs, and you know he's afraid of them. And
absolutely,
yeah.
I think it will be very enlightening for the people that are part of it. And again, just like with Katie and Colt's owners, everybody that's there is going to feel like they're a part of the journey.
Absolutely. That is
and amazing. People can actually follow Andy's journey. We have it's hashtag Andy the Service. It's hashtag Andy the Service Dog in Training. They can follow his journey on that. We've already got it started, and he'll start class this next Tuesday, I believe, maybe the following Tuesday. I can't remember which it is. But if they want to follow his journey, they're more than welcome to do that.
Oh, that is amazing. I'm definitely going to to jump onto that one. All right, we've only got a few minutes left. So, Katie, do you want to give us some information about Katie's Canine Clubhouse, where you're located, how people get in touch with you, if they can find you on Facebook, all of that sort of stuff?
Sure. Yeah, you can. They can always jump on Facebook and see the fun little pictures we take, and they can also go on the internet and they can go to www.katiescanineclubhouse.com. It's Katie with a K.
AATIESCLUB.
No, CANINE.
Oh, I'm sorry.
KLU. Yep. So Katie's with a K, Canine with a C, Clubhouse with a K.
Much better. Yes.
And they can go in there and see the different services and prices and things that we offer and some pictures as well. And then meet some of our staff on there as well. Read a little bit about them. We're at 5246 Douglas Avenue in Caledonia. Obviously we offer all those services here at the facility, but we also do in-home training and we're also going to be doing an urban canine class where we'll be going out and about in the public over the summer. So that's another fun thing that we'll be doing. They can also call, it's 262-898-1080. I gotta say, calling is not the easiest way, because email or messaging on Facebook is a little easier just because it's so loud.
It is. You can never call without hearing the dogs having a good time in the background.
That's nope.
And Katie's Canine Clubhouse offers training. They offer boarding. They offer daycare. And
grooming.
So yep. Service, take care of everything.
Yep, that's absolutely.
That's great. And you said 15 years. I can't believe it's been 15 years.
Yeah. Yep. It's
amazing to me. And I will quickly say that one of my dachshunds had major back surgery. And it was because of Katie's that he was able to kind of rehab when I had to be at work. And
right.
their scooter would be, back in the office there, just getting better every day. So you guys do really some amazing things, and it sounds like we need to have you back, especially after the urban that urban class sounds great, and now with the wheelchair experience,
it's really great. Andy the service dog,
that's great. Well, thank you both for joining us today. This has just been absolutely fascinating, and we thank all of you who've joined us at the show today, and we will be talking to you again very soon.
You've been listening to Community Matters. All programs are archived at WGTD.org. Click Shows. This is WGTD-HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva.
I'm Gregory Berg, and I hope that you can join me for Monday's morning show here on WGTD. Monday, the 22nd of April, is Earth Day, and we'll have several interviews related to the environment, and that will include a conversation with Simone Moulaz. She works for a 5-group coalition doing work to restore the coastal region of the Mississippi Delta in Louisiana. We will talk about that and other work on Monday's morning show beginning just after 8.
All this week on WGTD's Noon Tunes, we're featuring the music of Kenosha singer-songwriter and former poet laureate of Kenosha, Brent Mitchell. Synesthetic nostalgia, a morning sunlighting. At the end of every WGTD midday newscast, we feature a song by a local artist. So come on and join us for Noon Tunes, Monday through Friday, 12:20 p.m. on WGTD HD.
WGTD HD, Kenosha Racine.